Welcome to the Sermon Podcast by Church of the Nazarene. Stay tuned for the latest updates and new episodes by subscribing. Find us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Join us live every Sunday morning at 9 on our YouTube channel. For in-person worship, join our English services at Harrisonburg and our Elkton campus at 9 or 10:30 a.m. or our Spanish service at our Harrisonburg location at 11:45 a.m. Explore Celebrate Recovery every Monday night at 6 o'clock. Thank you for tuning in.
Well, so good to be here this morning with you. Music is powerful, isn't it? It is so deeply woven into our lives. I bet that I can sing just a few songs, and you will instantly recognize where it's from. You ready to play a little game? I think you can do this. Ready? I'm going to give you, it's called Name That Jingle. I'm going to give you the beginning part of the jingle, and you see if you can finish it before we give you the words. Ready? Here we go. Did you know it's on my bucket list to be on a game show one day? I think that's why I start with the game all the time. I will do it one day. Here we go. Give me a break. Give me a break. Good job. All right. How about this one? I don't want to grow up. Stacy's winning it right now. I'm just saying. All right. How about this one? The best part of waking up. Mm-hmm. Here's one for my 80s kids. Ready? My baloney has a first name. It's O-S-C-A-R. My baloney. Can you do the rest? Foster Meyer has a way with B-O-L-O-G-N-A. Good. That was good. All right. Here's for my more mature friends. Here's a story of a lovely lady. Ooh, there's a little mess up there. All of them had hair of gold, like their mother. You're all auditioning for the choir. You don't know it, but that's exactly what you're doing. All right, here is for my friends under the age of 45. Kevin, I expect you to sing this one the loudest. Ready? Even though you're not under 45. Here we go. In West Philadelphia, born and raised, where I spent most of my days, shooting some b-ball outside of the school when a couple of guys... Okay, we'll stop. That's from the French Prince of Bel-Air. That's awesome. Good job, good job. See, music sticks, doesn't it? It connects emotions, it connects memories, it connects moments in time. And listen, if Pastor Kevin can show Michael Jackson videos in church, I can sing jingles from commercials. And when I hear a song from my childhood or from my young adult years, for example, this song, the jingle from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, I could put myself almost immediately back in that time of my life. Like, I could almost smell my dad's garlic in his cooking, right? When he's making some baked ziti. And that's because when that song would come on the TV, when that show would begin, it would be right around supper time. And I immediately can link that song with dinner with my family, because that's when the supper would start. And there's just something about music. My youngest daughter, Emily, who was just up here leading worship with the worship team, I'll never forget when she was about 6 years old, we were at church and she had gotten in trouble for something that six-year-olds do. I don't remember what it was. And we were going to go to a new friend's luncheon, actually. So we were downstairs of our old church and we were on the other side of these double doors and we had just reprimanded her for whatever it is she did. And we said, "Now, when you are ready, we want you to think about what you did. And when you're ready, we want you to go ahead and join us on the other side of these double doors for this new friend's luncheon." She said, "Okay." So Brian and I just stepped on the other side of the doors, and suddenly we heard this melody coming from the other side. And we were like, "What is she doing?" And we put our ear closer to the door, and we realized that Emily was full on belting out a dramatic musical monologue about what had just happened. "My parents are so upset with me." And I don't know what the rest of the words were. But it was hilarious, right? But it also reinforces the power of music and the way it helps us process emotion and helps us process experiences. I mean, science even backs this up. Music impacts our cognitive, it impacts our emotional, our physical well-being. It enhances our memory. It regulates emotions. It relieves stress. It lowers our heart rate. It even is proven to reduce pain. So it's no wonder that God would give us music as a tool for worship. And it helps us remember that his promises and his, it helps us declare his truth. It helps us to stand firm in his faith. I mean, think about it. Music is how we all learned the alphabet. It might be how your parents calmed you down before bed by singing you a lullaby. Music's how a lot of scripture has gotten into our brain. I know I taught my girls the books of the Bible in order using song. And I ain't gonna lie, every time I open up my Bible and I'm trying to look for a book of the Bible, I'm like, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, do the bop, 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 bop. And that's why it's such an important part of worship as a weapon. Over the past few weeks, Pastor Kevin and Pastor Billy have shared different aspects of worship, better understood as worth-ship, right? Worship is how we, as followers of Christ, demonstrate God's worth in our lives. And as we've discussed, worship is not about music. It's about how we live our lives fully surrendered to Christ because he's worthy. But today, I want to pivot just a little bit and focus on the powerful connection between worship and spiritual warfare. Now, you might be wondering, spiritual warfare, Jeanette, what are you talking about? Is that like exorcisms or what is that? Well, the Bible does talk a little bit about demon possession, but spiritual warfare is much more than that. It's the ongoing battle between the forces of good and evil, a battle that pulls us away from God, and it's a battle that we're actually fighting every day. And while we've established that worship isn't just about singing on Sunday mornings, Scripture makes it very clear that singing, shouting, playing instruments, all those things play a very key role in spiritual battles. Because worship is a weapon. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, calling music a weapon, that's a stretch. But worship is one of the most powerful weapons we have against the enemy. Listen to what it says in Ephesians 6:12. It reminds us, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. We are in a spiritual battle. And our fight is not against people, although it seems like it sometimes. Our battle is against darkness. But worship is a battle cry that dismantles the enemy's schemes. And do you know that what demons hate most? Praise. Think about it. Before his fall, Satan was a master musician, possibly even, some say, a worship leader in heaven. And that's why there's nothing that frustrates him more than when we give God glory and when we praise God. Because our worship is not just an act of reverence, although it is. It's a weapon that shakes the kingdom of darkness. And that's exactly what we see in 1 Samuel 16. When Saul is being tormented by evil spirits, he calls on David, and it says in verse 23, whenever the spirit came upon Saul, David would take up his lyre and play. Then relief would come to Saul. He would feel better, and the evil spirit would leave him. If you're not sure what a lyre is, there's a picture of it right there as a stringed instrument. Worship shifts our focus from the battle to the victor. We see the same principle take place in 2 Chronicles. It's where we're going to spend most of our time today. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and pull it out. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 is where we're going to be. If not, if it's going to be on the screen, if you don't have your Bibles with you. But we see this principle play out in 2 Chronicles when King Jehoshaphat receives terrible news from a messenger. And this is what his messenger says to him. A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the Dead Sea. Everyone say vast. That means there was a lot of them. And King Jehoshaphat was like, oh boy. But the Bible says that even though King Jehoshaphat was alarmed, his first instinct, which if you read earlier on in the scripture, it was often his first instinct, was to go and seek the Lord. He was known for this. And so before he even gathered his people, his first direction was to go and seek the Lord. And the Bible says that Jehoshaphat then called all the people together, not just the men, but their wives and their children, and even their little ones, and they stood before the Lord, and Jehoshaphat honestly says to the Lord, "We do not know what to do, but our eyes are on you." Anybody ever prayed that prayer before? I do not know what to do, but my eyes are on you. And then God responds with this message. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Can you imagine the relief that King Jehoshaphat felt at that time? Church, when the enemy rises against us, our first turn should always be towards Jesus. Why? Because the battle is the Lord's and not ours. And when we turn and we say, I don't know what to do, and we lift our worship to him, regardless of our circumstance, it reminds us who's fighting for us. Because worship is not ignoring the battle. It's not saying, oh, that doesn't matter. That's not what we're saying when we are telling you to worship, when the Bible tells us to worship God in the midst of our circumstance. But it's about inviting God's presence into the situation. And then when he steps in and we invite him and we say, God, we don't know what to do, and he steps in, it changes everything. Because then that's when worship brings peace and the worship brings guidance, because his presence alone is what brings it. Because war is meant to torment us, but worship brings peace because it reminds us that God is with us. God's message continues in verse 17. Do not be afraid or discouraged, he tells his people. Go out to face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. He says it twice. Do not be afraid or discouraged. And then he says it again. Do not be afraid or discouraged, because the battle belongs to God, and the Lord will be with you. We've all faced struggles, health scares, financial stress, broken relationship. But worship isn't an escape from these things. It's an invitation for Christ's presence in the middle of them, because his presence transforms both our situation and our mindset. So many of you will come to me after worship and you'll say, oh, I feel so much better. But let me assure you, that you feeling better has nothing to do with the worship team. It's not the worship team that's lifting you up. What makes you feel better It's that you're lifting up his name, and that's what brings you peace. And worship doesn't just bring peace, it also brings guidance. If we look at the scripture, Jehoshaphat's army faced this overwhelming enemy, and he did something that was really unexpected. He says, all right, we're going to go out there, but we're going to put the worshipers on the front line instead of soldiers. Seems bizarre, right? Here's this vast army coming at him, and he's like, let's get some music up in here. And as they approach the army, although it sounds absolutely crazy, they start giving thanks to the Lord. They start singing, give thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever. Well, not quite, but listen to what it says. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 21. Listen to what they sing. Give thanks to the Lord, for his love endures forever. I don't know what the tune was. I don't know what the melody was, but that's what they sang. And as they began to sing and praise, the Lord started to send ambushes against their enemies, and they were defeated. Because Jehoshaphat understood that worship wasn't just preparation for the battle. They weren't just trying to rev the soldiers up to go out there. No, that worship was the battle. That was the weapon they were using in the battle. Because worship shifts our focus from fear to faith and reminds us that the victory doesn't come by our strength, but by God's power. And worship then restored their joy, and it restores our joy. Jehoshaphat and his army, they never even had to fight. God fought for them. And as they worshiped their enemies, they started to turn against each other. And by the time the army of Judah arrived, the battle was already won. Because not only did they experience victory, but they walked away with blessings that they never even expected. It said it took them 3 days to collect supplies and riches and resources that strengthened them for the future. Isn't that what we receive? Resources, then, after we worship and we see God fight that battle for us, that we could use for the next fight. It says that 4 days later, they gathered in a valley and they named it Beraka, meaning praise, because it became a place of thanksgiving. And then with joyful hearts, they returned to Jerusalem, singing and playing instruments and celebrating in the temple because God had given them victory. See, at first they were overwhelmed and they were afraid, but through worship, they didn't just survive. They came out rejoicing. And I believe that that's what God wants for us too. That's what worship does. It shifts our focus from the battle to the one who fights for us. It reminds us that victory isn't just making it through. It's about praising God and for what he has done. Maybe today you're in the middle of a battle. Can I encourage you? Worship anyway. But Jeanette, I just lost my job. Worship anyway. Jeanette, my family feels like it's just falling apart. Worship anyway. Jeanette, I don't know how I'm going to pay the bills this month. Doesn't seem like there's enough coming in. Worship anyway. Because when God moves, he doesn't just bring you through it. He'll also restore our joy. And that joy, it's part of our strength. And that in the fight, we have our eyes fixed on God, and our worship becomes part of the armor that he gives us to stand firm. Because our focus must be on God, His character, His ability, His goodness, not on how we have no idea how we're going to win the battle. But if our focus isn't on God when we worship, then we're just singing. And it's not worship. And it has no power as a weapon. Think about it as an air guitar battle. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know when people act like rock stars and they're like dramatically strumming invisible guitars? Do you know that this is really a thing? Like there is a competition, a world championship. People pay money to go. You don't believe me? Check it out. Crazy, right? Isn't that the most ridiculous thing you've ever seen? We were searching through the channels and Brian's like, there is an air guitar battle going on. And I was like, what? They're pretending to play, but in reality, they're not making any real music. If our worship is just performance, if it's just singing, if it's just acting like we're playing the part without truly engaging in what it means to acknowledge God, there is no difference from the folks that are playing the air guitar. You're just air worshiping. I don't know. We're doing the same thing, pretending to worship in the presence of the King of Kings, but no genuine worship is actually happening. And when that's the case, there's no weapon to be had. Because true worship should be real and powerful and authentic. It's our direct connection to the God who fights for us. When we truly worship, we're doing exactly what Paul instructs us in Ephesians 6. We're putting on the full armor of God. And just as we wouldn't go into battle unprepared, we cannot approach worship without fully equipping ourselves with His strength and protection. It tells us in Ephesians 6 that we are to put on the full armor of God. Well, what does that look like? The belt of truth. Well, what does that have to do with worship, Jeanette? It holds us steady in God's word. And in worship, we declare His truth over our lives. This is why, as a worship team, we're so careful on the songs that we choose to sing together, because we want them to be rooted in God's truth. We want each song that we sing together to remember that we use worship, that our worship is grounded in the truth of God's word. The breastplate of righteousness, it guards our heart. And in worship, we surrender to His holiness. The shoes of peace, or the feet of peace, gives us firm footing. And worship anchors us in His presence. The shield of faith, it extinguishes the enemy's attacks. And worship builds strength in our faith. And that's why it's okay to feel something when you worship. The helmet of salvation, it protects our minds. And in worship, it renews our thoughts and with His promises, right? And that's why our focus is so important during our times together. We do all that we can to help foster your connection with the Lord and not distract you from it. We want the lyrics to look good. We want the worship, the music to almost, we want to disappear in a way when you're worshiping. We don't want anything to be a distraction because we want you to be focused. And then last but certainly not least, the sword of the Spirit. God's word is our weapon. And worship is one way that we proclaim His word with power. And that's why so many lyrics of songs that we sing come straight from Scripture. The Lord bless you and keep you. Scripture. There's nothing that ticks a devil off than hearing us declare hallelujah. Because hallelujah is our battle cry. And the purpose of a battle cry is twofold, right? It inspires and rallies and creates a sense of unity and a sense of purpose. Yes, that's good. But it's also used to intimidate the enemy before and during a battle. Do you know what the best translation of hallelujah is? You've often heard hallelujah maybe means praise the Lord, but the best translation to hallelujah is you all must praise the Lord. And since we're in Virginia and I'm a little more south now, it sounds a little more like this: y'all must praise the Lord. So that when we worship, we're not just praising, we're calling others to join in. In the middle of our battle, we have to declare, y'all must praise the Lord, because the battle belongs to the Lord. Listen, worship is not just about singing, but it is a powerful weapon. I don't know what battle you're facing today, whether it's a diagnosis, a broken relationship, a financial struggle, a spiritual challenge that no one else sees. Perhaps the battle is right there in your head. I know that's usually where Satan attacks me the most, in my own thoughts. And right now, you have a chance to let fear and doubt and discouragement take control, or to raise your hands in worship and fight through the battle with faith. That's a choice you have. Because worship isn't ignoring the difficulty. It's about declaring that God is greater than the difficulty. I'm going to say it again. Worship isn't about ignoring difficulty. It's about declaring that God is greater than the difficulty. It's not pretending everything's fine, but it's proclaiming that even though things aren't fine, God is still worthy of our praise. And Scripture gives us this powerful picture in a battle between the Israelites and the Amalekites. It says that as long as Moses kept his hands raised, the Israelites were winning. But when he grew weary and he lowered them, the enemies gained ground. And some of us walked in today feeling like we have no hallelujah left to give. You're weary. But hear this. Your hallelujah is most powerful when it costs you something. Dare I say, that's when it's worship. Surrender is two arms up, not in defeat, but in trust. And maybe today that's exactly what you need to do. Whatever it is you're carrying, lay it down. Raise your hands and surrender, and give the battle to the Lord. We're going to sing a song here in just a moment. The title of the song is Hard Fought Hallelujah, and it says this: there's times when my hands go up easy, and then there's times when it costs. True worship happens when we choose to praise God, not because it's easy, but because we trust Him anyway. The enemy expects us to quit, to doubt, to shut down. But when you have a hard-fought hallelujah, it declares, I trust God anyway. Worship is not just a song. It's a powerful weapon. As you walked in today, you received a white flag. And white flags are used as a symbol of surrender. And I'm going to tell you a funny story. Last night at around 10 o'clock, I thought I should probably open up those white flags and see what they look like. and all of the sticks were separated from the little white flag, and there's 600 of them. And I thought, it is no joke that I am preaching on spiritual warfare because the devil's working on me right now. It was a family project. But today, I want you to use this white flag as a symbol of surrender. They're not just decoration, but they're a declaration that you trust God in the middle of your battle. So perhaps today as we sing together, or maybe you're just going to listen to the lyrics, and that's okay. God speaks to us that way too. But I'm going to encourage you to surrender and trust in God and just respond with your hands lifted, a visual declaration that you trust in him. And listen, Moses couldn't keep his arms up alone. He needed Aaron and Hur to come over and to hold them up. And some battles, they're just too heavy for us to fight alone. So maybe today you're in a good place and you're praising God and you have plenty of hallelujah to sing. But maybe you know someone in the room who just needs you to help them raise those hands and sing a hallelujah. Maybe someone needs your help. So as we sing hard-fought hallelujah, let's make this our declaration. I will worship in the middle of the fire. I will praise you in the middle of the storm. And I will lift my hands because I know that you are able. And I'll sing a hard-fought hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, it's hard to sing. It's hard to feel joy. It's hard to give you the trust and the praise that you deserve, Lord, when we're going through a difficult time, when it seems like the enemy's against us and we just can't catch a break. But Lord, today we trust you. And it may not be easy, but we're going to give you praise anyway. Because we know that it's the weapon you've given us to turn to you, to praise you, because the battle's not ours, it's all yours, Lord. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in today. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button to stay updated on our latest episodes. If you have any questions about our church or ministry, feel free to reach out to us via email at info@cotnaz.org.